The Candid Cast with Lucky Agede. Episode 6, Paradigm Shift, Delayed Gratification.
Welcome to another episode of The Candid Cast. Today, we will take our fourth and concluding part of the study on paradigm shift, the need to change some of our belief systems that are limiting to our growth and limiting to our development. In the first part of this series, we did our introduction to paradigm shift. We defined paradigm shift and we said what limiting beliefs are and what they can do to us. The need to set parameters for checking whether our beliefs are appropriate or not were all handled in that series. In part two, we talked about our work attitude of men to work. A lot of people think that the reason you work is just to pay bill and you drag yourself to work and back from one day to another until one day you die. That's not your purpose in life. There is more purpose to working than just paying the bills. That even if you were to have all the money, it is still necessary that you work. And in the third part, we studied the shortcut syndrome. Why people want things, the short route to anything. In pursuit of shortcut, we lose so much. That's why I concluded that shortcut is the longest route to whatever we want to achieve. The shortcut to education was emphasized in that teaching that educational system has been destroyed by the pursuit of shortcut. Today, in the fourth and concluding part, we'll be looking at delayed gratification, the need to delay gratification. Many people don't see reason why gratification should be delayed. You are the one that earn your wages. They say a laborer is worthy of his wages. That is absolutely true. But what he does with his wages will determine whether he rise or fall as a person. There is a part of Nigeria that holds the belief that money provided by God, God is the provider of money, and when he provides money for wedding or burial or naming or whatever ceremony you want to do, it's a different money from money that God will provide for building a house. So you can use your whole life to do parties and it does not delay the day you should move into your own house. The day you want to own a house, God will just provide a specific fund for that purpose when it is time. You'll now know, okay, this is the time when God wants me to build a house. Let me plead with everyone that is of that belief. Maybe you have been raised, we said, we form this belief from our culture. We form it from our associations. We form it from our religious affiliations. And if you are in that type of belief, that God provides money and put mark on it, on what it should be used for, I don't agree with you and I'll plead with you to make a change. I agree that God is the owner of life and it's only somebody that is alive that can make money. God is the determinant on who sees today. We sleep, we wake up. None of us can boast that he must wake up tomorrow. No. God is the determinant of that. What you choose to do with each day is in your own hands, not in the hand of God. To practice diligence or to practice laziness is absolutely up to you, what you do with your time. God has provided 24 hours for each person. The rich has 24 hours. The poor has 24 hours. The difference is what they do with their time. You find that often the rich does not have enough time. The 24 hours are not enough for him. And the poor has surplus time. So it follows that the waste of time is actually a root cause of poverty. When people use time as if it has no value, I've always been of the opinion that time is more valuable than money, because time can create money, but money cannot create time. If you use your time where you can create more money, there is no way you use money to create more time. You have 24 hours and that's all that you can get. Let's know that God does not credit our account with money, contrary to beliefs in our culture, that is God that brings money. What I read in scripture is that he gives power to get wealth. Power is not the cash itself. He also says the hands of the diligent will rule, but a lazy man will be put to forced labor. These are words from scripture. I know that if you are alive and you are healthy, you have received power to create wealth. What you put your power to do is now your own choice, which God will not intervene. If you wake up, you say a lazy man turns on his bed just like the door on the hinges, turns several times and goes nowhere. Let us note number two, that there is no purpose mark on any money in any currency that you earn it. Money comes to you, it comes to the wise, it comes to the fool. Everybody goes to work, everybody gets paid, everybody makes money. But what you do with your money is up to you. And that is a determinant of whether you become great or you do not become great. You are the one that chooses what to do with your money. It comes as a seed and as fruit also. So you know what to plant and you know what to eat in the same money that has come into your hand. And number three, money planted. You remember I mentioned that money comes as fruit and as seed. So now I will explain. That money planted as seed has a capacity for an endless multiplication. But money eaten as bread has lost all its power. It ends, you terminate it there. It was Warren Buffett that said, the world has not made any invention or discovery that is more powerful than compound interest. The power of compounding, he calls it, is a great invention that man has discovered. You put money down in an investment and you wait over time. The money will get children, as we say it in Nigeria, and the children will get children, and the children will get children's children of the money. You live on the interest on your money, you live on the earnings of your money. Let's look at an example of somebody who lived that life. I will recommend the story of Ronald Reed. Ronald Reed was an American who was born in the early part of the 20th century. So he lived for 92 years as a person. And he used his life to fight. He fought in World War II. He was in three different continents during the World War II fighting. And by the time he came back, he took up a job as a janitor in a supermarket, and at another time in a gas station. He worked with JCPenney as a janitor. If somebody is a janitor, you would think that there is nothing that he can make out of that job. This is to encourage everybody that no job is lowly. This man died at the age of 92, leaving $8 million. And he gave most of it away as donation to a hospital and to a library. He started buying shares in 1959 at the age of 38. He held his shares and was satisfied with collecting dividend. And you know, this is what Warren Buffett recommends. Buy, go for the long haul. When people hear you invest in the stock market, you want to buy on Monday and sell on Tuesday. That is trading. That's not investment. Investors wait. They become part owner of the business. And they look forward to what the business will be in 20 years, in 30 years. Those people who invest, investors are patient. Investors are not people who say, oh, sell it, it has lost 2 naira today. It will come back after some time. All the ones that went down in the 2008 market crash, they are back today. So Ronald Reed drove a used secondhand, here we'll call it Tokumbo, Toyota Yaris, and he lived a very moderate lifestyle to leave a whopping sum of $8 million as inheritance at his death. I know many people, a janitor, it looks very unlikely, but this is a story. The story of Ronald Reed is available on the internet, and anybody can read it up. So at his death, he had shares in 95 quoted companies at the time of his death. I've constantly heard my mother say, everyone is destined to be a millionaire. And when you open scripture and you begin to see, I know the thought that I think towards you, thought of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope and to lead you to an expected end. We quote these scriptures easily. But is God faithful? The answer is yes, he's absolutely faithful. Why are we not realizing it? Why is everybody not becoming a millionaire? The rest is in your hand. The constant in the equation is God. He plays his own part. He has said he will be a millionaire. My mother said, only the person who knows that the money he earns this year, the one he will earn in 5 years' time, will meet part of it. You don't earn and finish it in a year and tell me that you have problem. When you finish the money, problems will still be there. And that is the truth. A lot of people think that they have problem. Oh, I have not solved all my problem. You will not solve all your problem. Even if you spend 200% your income, the problems will still be there. It will not finish. If you choose to live on 10% your income, the problems will still be there. So why not choose the pattern that will set you free someday? In his book, Not My Will, President Olusegun Obasanjo said, in Africa, we waste tomorrow's time today. And you will find that can explain why in the first term of his presidency, when he came back in 1999, if your holiday falls on Sunday, you will declare Sunday as public holiday and you come to work on Monday. If it falls on Saturday, you will declare Saturday as public holiday and you come to work the next day. To cut the waste of time, we have too many holidays. I want to add to what President Obasanjo said, and add that in Africa, we waste our future earnings today. We waste the money that we have not earned. People borrow for celebration. And that is the life that we know. Africa, in one context, is the poorest continent in the whole world. And in another context, it is the richest in the whole world. We are the richest in natural deposits. Deposit of natural resources, which we did not work for. And we are the richest in the deposit of youth population. The energy of the youth that is required to build financial empire, build invention, innovation, run economies. Africa has it more than any other continent. Then why are we poor? You can't reconcile the two positions. It's contradictory. We must learn the art of delayed gratification. If a janitor can amass $8 million, you will not die poor. It is not your lot to die poor unless you choose to. Why is instant gratification bad? It will create financial instability. The story was told of somebody who was suffering for a very long time and he went to church, they prayed, he got a miracle. So he got a contract. That contract put some money in his hand. And the next thing he said to the wife was, I must eat 6 eggs every morning. And he started to boil 6 eggs to eat every morning, look for all the items, whatever he fancied, he ate. Another contract did not come immediately. And he sank into a worse position than what he had known before. I'll tell you also the story of another person that I know very well. He had a friend who got a political appointment in Abuja. He was working in Abeokuta. And he went to his friend and said, please, help me. I'm doing a job of 6,000 naira a month. I need to go into business. His friend gave him a handsome sum of money to set up a business. He went to Abuja by road. By the time he left his friend's house, he faced the airport. He said, now that I'm rich, I cannot travel by road. He flew to Lagos. He got to Lagos. He said, at my new level, I cannot be joining taxi with other people. He took airport taxi from Lagos to Abeokuta. He got to Abeokuta. I said, those staying in Gateway Hotel, that's the Ogun State Hotel that is now Radisson Blue in Abeokuta, Radisson Hotel. Then it was Gateway Hotel. It was the most expensive hotel in Abeokuta. He left his house. He went to check into Gateway Hotel. I said, those eating Gateway Hotel food, they are not spirits. And he said, 8 Gateway Hotel Foods until the money finished, and he trekked out of the place. Not having money to pay his rent, the landlord ejected him, and his properties were scattered all over friends' houses, and he started sleeping inside his Volkswagen Beetle car. Until he left Abeokuta, that was his last home that I knew. So, the danger of instant gratification. Could he have done the business? Was it not possible that if he took that money, did the business, that he would travel by flight, he would eat in Gateway Hotel, he would take airport taxi as much as he wanted? Just wait. Delay it. It will come. It's your own. Another thing that we do that creates financial instability is the attitude of being the first to buy. This thing is out. It's the latest. Be the first to have it. What will happen to the rest people in the world if I am the first to have it? We are over 7 billion in the world. So what is the relevance of my being the first to have? If there are more than 7 billion people who are not first to have, and they are still living their life, and I am not better than them. Come and buy is the last one. These are marketers' bait that they set for unsuspecting persons that are not ready to delay gratification. So when somebody says buy, be the first to buy, or it is the last one, just buy. If I buy this last one, there are over 7 billion people that don't have it, that did not buy. And if those 7 billion people will not die, I will not die. So let's learn some lessons from this. It is, you don't build anything, financial stability, by rushing into self-satisfaction. Number two, if you cannot delay gratification, you will have relational instability. An impulse spender can't maintain good relationship. The scripture says that the rich has many friends, but a poor man is despised by his own brothers. It is not that his brothers don't want him. You knock on somebody's door, they don't know how much you want to borrow today. They will begin to slam their door and tell you they are not at home when you are coming. But when you are coming, if you are somebody who delayed gratification, that man that went to Abuja to collect money and enjoyed himself in instant gratification, if he goes back to Abuja the following week, I'm sure his friend will not open the door for him. If you have done the business and they became business pals, when you are calling your friend that is enjoying political appointment and explaining how far your business has gone, I'm sure he will say, where do you want us to meet next? Should I meet you in Lagos or are you coming to Abuja? So the rich will always have many friends because of their choices, and the poor will continue to be despised, not because they are hated. Let us make choices that will make us in reckoning and put people to want to associate with us. He said, a man that has many friends must himself be friendly. If we don't put ourselves in friendly position, friends will run away. And you say you don't have friends, people despise you. Check yourself. Whatever we go through in life, there is a desire. Go in, check yourself inside. We are very quick at finding fault with others. Number three, a quick spender will have poor personal growth and development. How do we grow? Through financial planning, you are able to reserve money for literally everything that you want to do. But if you are an impulse buyer, impulse spender, you are not able to hold and plan your life, what you want to do with money that will help you to do a personal advancement, like determining in advance when you want to own your house, when you want to own your car, when you want to train your children, how you want to train your children. So first thing is that career will be stunted. He will not invest in training because he never ever has the money for it. Those training that will help him in career advancement will be sacrificed, because all such trainings are not within reach. They are just too expensive. What of books? To buy books from the shelf and read, too expensive. You have used all your money for gold. You have used all your money for jewelries, and books become too expensive. You have used all your money to buy whatever is passing by, whatever the hawkers are selling, and you cannot invest in self-development. You can't go anywhere until you do that. Number two, he will be weak in his health and fitness. He may not be in a position to invest in health and fitness club, sporting activities, good dieting, all those are away from him because he doesn't have money. He said the poor man will be put to forced labor. He's forever broke. And number three, he's likely to have poor nutrition. A quick spender will live his entire life on fast foods. It is cheap, it's easy. That is the life that he knows. But these foods are not the healthiest of food. The healthy foods, you need to wait for it. And a quick spender does not have time for that. There is need to maintain a balance between instant gratification and the pursuit of long-term goals. The truth is that until you can plan long-term, you will go nowhere. I encourage you, look beyond the immediate. Nothing good comes easy. So for you to achieve delayed gratification, it's not easy, because somebody said, God speaks, money speaks. That's why Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. They both have voice. They speak. Something must be speaking to you. If you don't create purpose for your money before it is end, money will define purpose for you. And that's why you find people, when money comes, they say, is it the same person? He has changed everything about his life, his thinking, his talking, everything, his association, everything. Money will change your habits unless you have defined in advance the purpose of money. If you say, when this money comes, I'm going to buy land, and you are planning for land. When you buy land, I'm planning to build. When you build, I'm planning to marry. I'm planning to raise children. I'm planning my children's education. Those things that takes 30, 40 years to realize will help you. Make spending plans on long term. Spending plans should be for long term, medium term, and short term. Define the step for the actualization of each steps in the plan. And as you walk towards them, you find that those distractions that will come, by the way, distractions come to everybody, I must tell you. There is no human being that does not face distraction. But when it comes, you are able to say no, because you have a prior plan. It's just like somebody booking an appointment with you and you tell the person, sorry, I have a pre-planned schedule. There is something on that date. But if you don't have anything planned, anything can fit in. Number three, I encourage you, be disciplined. There is someone who inherited a house, somebody that I know. The person sold the house and was struggling to pay rent where he lives. My question was, where is the money realized from the sale of the house? And I got an answer. By the time you put up a house for sale, you're advertising, all the agents are calling people to come and buy. All your relations have heard that your father's house is up for sale. They all develop problems that need financial solution. As soon as they heard that somebody has paid for the house, everybody lined up. My roof has been blown off. I've been waiting. Thank God you have sold this house. Now money has come. Oh, my child wanted to go to school. Thank God you have sold the house. Now money has come. So everybody that was struggling to pay one bill or the other was waiting for that money. When the money finished, their problem did not finish. The money is gone. The problem still remains. If you didn't sell the house, the problem will be solved. Why rush to sell a house to solve a problem that is not your own? The owner will find how to solve his problem. If you don't make your money to be money that has no purpose. Number four, you must set milestones for self-reward. Don't neglect yourself. Delayed gratification does not mean that you should live in the streets or go naked. No, I'm not recommending that. A friend told me he does not buy anything for himself until he can afford four of it. So, meaning that he's not qualified to own a personal car until he has money for four cars. And that is my own recommendation on how to own a car. It is not when they scratch a car and you begin to shout, this car is my life. Car is not your life. I didn't buy a car until I was sure that if you steal the car, I can just go and pick another one. I delayed when you hold on for it, by the time it comes, you are in a position to replace. Number five, be grateful every step of the way. Because if you are found grumbling, people will ask you what is happening to you. They say, but you have money now. Why not? So it will delay your plan. When you do not appreciate where you are, let the dream be alive in you and be what is driving your gratitude. When you know where you are going, a grateful heart will create energy in you to keep running when the going gets tough. Because the going must always get tough. Life is not a bed of roses. It will get tough, but your dream will keep going, keep you going. Number six, don't look away from your ultimate goal. Challenges are the building blocks of life. Don't use it to fence yourself in or away from others. Ride on your challenges to reach your long-term goals. The scripture talks of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, because of the joy he saw awaiting him after the cross, he endured the cross and despised the shame. It was the most shameful death to die in that time. At that time, was to die on the cross. But he took it because he knew there was a glory to come after. Can you see the glory ahead of your delayed gratification? That is what will drive you to achieve it. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to like, share, and follow us so you get notified when a new episode is out.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Cast. Be sure to tune in again next week.